Hey.
And welcome to Crippled System, episode 242. We are live.
Yep.
And we're waiting for Nathan, unfortunately. I was actually going to tweet out a picture of me and David and doing kind of like the waiting for David picture that we had a while ago. And I forgot to tweet it out. But hey, we're live.
We're live.
So do you have any quick announcements at all?
No.
No. I don't either.
Okay.
Did you go to the events this weekend? There was an event that was in La Crosse, I saw.
No. I did hear that three of our local guys from Madison placed second, third, and fourth at the event, so that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Yeah, hopefully Nathan will be here soon. Otherwise, yeah, I'm sure he's going to have a story to tell because he did see Solo.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Posted on Facebook that it was okay. He still doesn't like the name, and I think he's going to be disappointed because there's no hot robot sex in it, but he seemed to be really interested in the robot sex part of it, or the implied robot sex, I should say, since there's no actual robot sex in the movie.
There's implied robot sex?
Yes, there's implied robot sex.
Interesting.
Is anybody keeping track on how many times we've said robot sex now?
No. I mean, if we had a crew that would handling the actual production of this rather than Andy pressing a button and that we could have somebody in a control room that could be actually, putting a calendar up for how many times sex has been said.
So say this will, that's clearly what we need for the podcast is a running total of robot sex utterances.
Yeah. I mean, there's a really cool, I think it was, I think it was David Letterman. Jeez, Conan O'Brien. It had sex robot, but it's not specifically robot sex. But it had sex robot. I think was
that was a skit from what was it? The whitest kids you know? Is that Is that the group
so
that
so
does
wasn't,
it?
Oh, I'm thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we'll have to. So that's the further question: is not how many times have we said robot sex, but now does sex robot count as an utterance of robot sex?
Well, it could when it's layered. So like you'd have to have two instances of sex robot to have one instance of robot sex.
But if you said sex robot three times, that's two instances of robot sex though.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So it's a complex counting. Yeah.
After the initial one, then it's always one extra.
Yeah. So so we're making things confusing for our mythological producer sitting in the booth updating the counter.
Correct. If we have room for a booth in this podcast area, which we do not have room for booth.
We can have a booth. He could sit on the roof out there.
David does have somebody had mentioned in chat that we don't have kids. And David has two kids?
Three
kids.
I have three kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
All under 10? No, you just mentioned one was...
4, 7, and 17.
Yeah. So...
Yep.
Aha! And then the other bearded person that's on here that's normally here on time.
Mm-hmm. Bearded system.
Bearded system, yeah. That's... Oh, yeah. No, we don't keep...
No, not in the cellar.
Yeah.
I don't even have a cellar.
So I was going to mention this. I was hoping for Nathan to be here. So I've been dealing with some folks on trade forums on Facebook, and I've only had one successful trade.
You know how I solve that problem?
Don't use the Facebook market group for trading.
Yeah.
In the long run, it would have worked out fine, basically where I got a refund, but... Like the first guy that I ordered a couple of blisters of some miniatures said that he sent them off, never got them, asked him for a tracking number, never got it, and got sent from Canada.
Yeah.
In that time period, I got three things from the UK from weeks after I purchased it from the guy.
Yeah.
And other people are saying that they got their stuff from him too. So I don't know. Maybe my postman is horrible. This last one was I ordered a miniature from a guy, and the guy sent it, or he forgot to send it, for one thing. Reminded him. He said, it'll be out tomorrow. Still didn't go out. Sent him another reminder. Finally went out. And he says that this packaging right here costs $3.
Okay.
Is just a fucking envelope that's been chopped in half and taped up.
Yeah.
And then the card that it came with, obviously, is being pressed against a miniature. So my card is all bumped and fucking ruined.
Yeah.
Idiots.
So I'm Dave, and I play Kador and maybe Legion.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about introductions. My name is Andy. I brought down Retribution down to the game store.
Awesome.
Last week, and I thought about playing him.
Huh?
for a few moments. But otherwise, I play Rat Catchers for Gilball.
Yeah. Okay, and Nathan is on chat complaining that he's running late.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all right. You know, he's probably watching the cast right now, which is not safe to do when you're driving to the podcast.
So. It's illegal in several states too. I don't know if it is in Wisconsin or not.
I think it's. Well, distracted driving is bad in general. I mean, it's. I don't know if it's actually illegal in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Legionnaires points out that there's a harping on the 22% win percentage at the America's Team Championship for Rhett. So you're doing better than that at 0 out of 0 games.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't lost a game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Also, Rhett, the Rhett's CID is supposed to start this week.
It is. I am partially excited. I'm partially not excited. Some of the things that, at least one of the things I've seen were some of the previews they gave like a couple months ago, like Battle Mages losing Force Barrier and the changes to the, I call them Hulk Hands. I can't think. Artificers.
Mega Mittens.
Yeah, the fact that the artificers are getting some major changes too. I mean, where they just passively give force barrier to nearby units.
It's a star action, I believe.
It's a star action. Okay.
That they can hand it. They can hand out. They can hand out force barrier.
Okay, but it gives it out to a unit.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's not so bad. But
I mean, I think it's probably a slight nerf to the effectiveness of the battle mages because they're going down a point, which is fine.
Yeah.
And they're picking up set defense instead of force barrier, and so then they put force barrier on the artificer as a solo. But then apparently the way it is right now is battle mages are a freebie in forges. And so you're only going to take them in forges, but they're free. But they're now your freebie units. And I think that even if losing permanent force barrier is a slight nerf, considering everything put together, it's a nerf going from force barrier to have it applied from an NBC, going down a point and picking up set defense because force barrier is really, really, really good.
Force barrier is really good though. But the thing is though, when I played my Retribution, you know what killed my battle mages? Shooting. my battle mages didn't die to melee at all.
Yeah,
they died to shooting.
No, yeah. I mean the 8-point battle mages without static without passive force barrier are worse than 9-point battle mages with static force barrier, and set defense doesn't make enough to change that.
Yeah.
However, if they are a freebie for 30 points of jacks and battle engines in Forges of War. Then yeah, it turns out they're really good.
Yeah, that could be pretty awesome. I'm hoping that they expand a little bit of Forges of War. I mean, if they're touching both those units, then yeah. I assume that Forges of War is going to get a rework as part of the CID as well.
Yeah, I'm expecting that. I'm not although I'm not expecting it to add the Vire Jacks to it.
No. I don't think so.
So when I say Jacks and battle engines, I mean the theoretical Shaiel battle engines, because a Shaiel battle engine does not exist. And the only new thing that we've had any hint that's coming out of this is going to be a Nyar battle engine.
Yeah, the cool Eldar skiff or whatever it is.
Yeah,
All right, so.
Yeah. So and Rhett is getting a hover tank, which is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was the skiff I was talking about, the Eldar skiff. Yeah. I thought I saw some concept art for that. I think Doug Hamilton was showing that off.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's sculpting it. So, I mean, basically all the awesome stuff from Rhett has been coming from his sculpting hands, or his digitally sculpting hands.
Yeah, but that is apparently a Dawn Guard battle engine, so it'll go in the Legions of Dawn theme, and some of the changes for that, I think, sound like they're going to make Legions of Dawn a really strong theme force as well. Let's see what else was mentioned.
Virus is going to be having some good times again.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably him and Ron are probably my two casters I like to play the most out of
Kalissa. Red. Kalissa by far is my favorite Red caster, and I mean, she runs I think everything now. And with some of the other changes, let's see, what else was it? Mage Hunter Infiltrators are supposed to get Combo Strike, which means they can actually hurt things.
Okay. So instead of their single basic POW 8 attack or POW 9 attack?
I think it's POW 9. POW 9, maybe Gang. I don't know. I haven't paid too much attention to them because basically their whole shtick is they're high defense and don't do a lot of damage. But with Combo Strike, they can actually do a reasonable amount of damage. What else was supposed to happen? Invictors are supposed to get Repo 3 from their command attachment and get cheaper, which is good. It sounds like Desters are getting essentially completely redesigned, which is also good.
Yeah, it'd be nice to... It's kind of funny. Since Lock and Load, I've seen people posting pictures of their Desters. I might be able to pull these out of the box now and assemble them.
Yeah. And
my Desters are sitting in a box right now waiting to be assembled as well.
Yep. Apparently the Lys Healer is getting added to Shadows, and the Artificer is getting added to Legion of Dawn, and which having being able to now drop Force Barrier on a unit of Sentinels with, say, Asayan, who can also give them another +2 defense against shooting, seems to be really good. So...
Yeah,
I think that it's going to open up it's going to open up a lot of stuff. I mean, I was already looking at Ossian Legion builds. I was like, well, I'm not sure if this really does everything I want to. And then they made like two changes that I'm aware of that make that build a whole lot stronger. So I'm like, yep, I'm going to be doing this as soon as the CID hits. Let's see. My hope from the stuff that isn't mentioned is I'm really hoping the Lys Healer gets added to Legion, because Legions of Dawn is one of those themes that it has this awesome benefit that works on martial jacks and doesn't miss and doesn't allow you the solo that makes martial jacks not a bad choice. So,
oh sure, yeah. I have to be honest with you, I really haven't played much of Rhett in Mark III, so mm-hmm. I'm excited because they're my only painted army that I have.
Yeah,
so I'm excited to actually bring them out and play them some more.
I mean, Rhett in Mark III is, I mean, there are a lot of complaints in it. I mean, I think the biggest issue with Rhett in Mark III is that outside of Defenders of Ios, most of the themes aren't terribly good, and the themes are kind of restricted, especially because the Rhett Jack theme only allows half of the Jacks, and it's great. it's mostly the bad Jacks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I guess I agree with that. The Forges of War is it's just a Shaiel theme, so it wants only Shaiel Jacks, and man, some of the Fire Jacks are just really good.
Yeah.
Like I miss being able to take a Banshee on a regular basis in theme, and or even the Sphinx once in a while has been fairly solid too.
I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm the only Rhett player that doesn't really like the Sphinx.
But he's just cheap. That was the only reason why I liked him.
Yeah, but now you can take Harpies instead, who are amazing and cheaper.
I have a Harpy. I own a Harpy. I don't own multiple Harpies yet, but. That's one of the things I plan on purchasing soon, is more Harpies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they were worthwhile because, I mean, in most of the Rhett lists I put together recently have three Harpies in them as the battle group, and my Ossian Legion builds run 5 Harpies. I mean, I think that's kind of, even with, because they have talked about making some of the changes to some of the other heavy Jacks to make them more competitive, but right now none of them are particularly competitive to Harpies.
Yeah. But, all right.
So anyway, I'm excited. That should happen. That should happen this week, as early as tomorrow, probably more likely Wednesday.
It seems like their updates have been on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've They just got done with Lock and Load. They're probably preparing for, I think, Gen Con for Privateer. I don't know if there's another convention in between there.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is that Wednesday's a holiday, so it would probably be Tuesday or Thursday. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's true, too. Oh, but, other than that, I haven't really been playing much in the War Machine area. Hmm. But,
I am.
Hey, think it here.
No, I am still working on getting our team pairings. We've got our team together for the Wisconsin Team Championship, which everybody on Crippled System will be there. So you should all, everybody listening should come too.
Yeah.
I've got my team together and we are still working on finalizing pairings. I think we've got two out of the three of us already chosen, and I'm kind of the wild card because I'm trying to pick a pairing that my captain can drop me into, stuff that he doesn't want to play. So I got to figure out what that's going to be. So I would have liked to have known what I'm playing by now, but I'm not stressed out yet. But I'm still really looking forward to the event because team events and War Machine are my absolute favorite thing in the game. So
I've only participated in one team event. Mm-hmm. I've ran team events though, so I did those a lot. But I am intrigued. We are looking for one more person to fill out Andy's mercenaries team to basically either help out with the event or mm-hmm. to actually play in the event. So we just need one more person to fill that out. So far, it's just myself and Dan. So Dan wasn't sure if he could make it for the event or not, but he didn't want to commit in case if he couldn't make it.
Okay. So, well,
Just need one more.
I am somewhat relieved because I think I've got a pretty good team put together for it.
Sure.
And I had this list of there are about five players that I think are coming, and if any one team is made up of three of them, we'll be in trouble. And Dan's one of the people on that list. So if he's not playing on a competitive team, I feel better about our odds.
What do you say? I'm not competitive.
Well, I didn't think the Andy's Mercenaries was supposed to be. I thought it was just sort of a.
Well, I mean, we're going to try. We're going to play our hearts out.
Oh, if you're going to play. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not. I mean, if we're playing, we're actually going to be trying to bring some competitive lists. Well, once we know who that third person is.
Yeah.
But.
No, but I mean, if Dan is coming and is not sure if he's going to be playing yet, it makes me feel better.
Sure, that's true. Yeah, Nathan is writing in his car, which is disturbing because he's the one participating in chat right now, which is very odd.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for WITC. I mean, there's Gen Con, and there's the actual WTC, which I got invited to be a judge for it, and I'm trying to make sure that can actually happen. I'm not sure 100% yet if that's going to be able to happen.
Yeah, I would love to be able to make it there. I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be able to make it there, but I'll be providing some level of support for it, for list registration and stuff for the event. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Conflict Chamber is a great tool for everyone to use.
Yep. And I really appreciate how many people use it. And I'm just happy to help with the War Machine community because one of the things I absolutely love about playing War Machine is the community for this game is awesome. And has always been and has been great because I've played other tabletop games and other competitive games that the communities were not awesome, but War Machine's community is great.
Yep. Yep. I've been pretty lucky in most of the games that I've gotten into. I mean, like Blood Bowl is one of the other big communities I participate in, and it's a very similar thing, you know, where instead of just like, oh, we're going to go down and smash face and I don't care what. If I don't care about you as a human being, I'm just going to destroy you. And if you feel sad and fuck you, War Blood Bowl is definitely not like that either. Yeah. It's really more of a camaraderie. You're going to sit down, you're going to have a pint, and you're going to push models around, and you know, whoever wins.
Yeah. Well, I mean, War Machine is also very... I mean, War Machine is the epitome of going into smash face, but unlike a lot of other games I played in the same genre, people don't seem to get upset when they get their faces smashed.
Correct.
I mean that's a huge part of it, is that it is hyper competitive, but it lacks the nastiness of a lot of other games that don't have as well. Oh, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, they're concise rules too. I mean, yeah. Basically, when you have something that's going to run over roughshod over your army, it's not like, oh, he interpreted this rule to mean that he could do this.
Yeah,
this is how the rule is. Oh, I should have been back an inch or, you know, yeah. Something like that instead of... That was the problem I had with Warhammer Fantasy. And it's a dead game, so...
Yeah.
So, but like Warhammer Fantasy used to have like a bunch of how you're wheeling units or your troops around. You could end up cutting into a different unit, and then you'd have like sliding, where if you just barely clip a unit, then you would just slide into place, which could give you like 8 more inches of movement as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that was miserable. That was miserable about.
And I'm Nathan. You can just crop that in at the beginning.
No, that's not going to get cropped in. That's all good.
When do I come in on screen here? Wow, this is a delay.
Yeah, it's like a
good... Oh, there I am.
Good, like, 5-second delay.
Okay, I'll turn that off.
5 to 10 second delay. But no, hey, Nathan.
It's competitively tightly designed, but it doesn't have the try hard fuck you nature of overly competitive nature. Yeah. Right. I think what you're
well, I mean, I think the having the rules that are well written and actually work, I think, goes a long way for this, because there are very few serious rule debates in War Machine. Because I mean, that's like every time I've gotten into a rule debate, somebody's like, yeah, you know, we could determine this. I'm going to call a judge and we'll figure it out. I've never had a serious rule debate at an event in War Machine, and every time I have left the state to play Warhammer, that happened.
And usually, far more frequently in War Machine than in other tabletop games, if you're having a rule debate, one of you is really, really obviously wrong. Like, yeah, you, correct. It is very rare in War Machine to reasonably be able to interpret a rule two different ways.
Yeah,
it is usually pretty clear on the card.
Yeah, there are like three in the history of Mark II and Mark III that I can look at and say, yeah,
you can't difficult. Fucking rocket jump before you charge, and I will stab a bitch who says otherwise.
Yeah, well, I 100%, I am with you. No, I'm talking about Mark II sprint.
Sure, sure.
Correct, yeah. Correct, yeah.
Whew, I made it. Yeah.
I figured when you sent me the message, you were like, I'm going to be about 15 minutes late, and then we got about 6:20, and I'm like, we should probably get going. We should start.
Yeah. I will do it early in the episode. My recommendation is check how long movies are. Don't assume. Oh. Why the fuck is Incredibles 2 2.5 hours long?
Well, because they spent
Jesus, it's a years. Kids movie.
Is it 14 years?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been, you know, like 14 years since it came out.
Movie started at 4:05. I'm like, all right, a kids movie will be like 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours. That's sure. 6 o'clock. I'll get to Andy's in 15 minutes. Then the credits start rolling. I look at my watch and it's 6:25. Crippled System has started broadcasting. I'm like, motherfucker. Damn it, Brad Bird.
I just saw a start of a movie where he just directed.
Was it The Incredibles?
No.
Was it Incredibles 2?
No.
Was it Iron Giant?
Nope.
You still haven't watched Iron Giant.
Oh, I've seen Iron Giant.
Oh, I thought Iron Giant you hadn't seen.
No.
Oh, no, it was Big Fish that you haven't seen.
Yeah, I don't care.
I knew one of those two movies because I had discussed the fact that it would destroy you.
Yeah, Big Fish would probably destroy me.
Yeah.
Well, actually, any emotional movie will destroy me because I'm just a big crybaby.
Did you watch Logan?
Oh, I fucking cry at Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
my wife doesn't want to see Logan because of that.
Has she not seen it?
She has not seen Logan. I keep telling her she needs to see it because
it is one of the
few comic book movies that stands up as a movie without the comic book elements. It's that good.
It helps a little bit the whole way through. To know like Xavier, because they don't really explain Xavier at all that much in the film. They kind of mention that he is a psychic and he's a powerful mutant.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it enhances it to already know, but I think they do a good job within the story of explaining it.
Yeah.
But already knowing obviously helps. Chat wants to know if I've done some cocaine. You'll have to clarify. Do you mean ever or just now? I mean, I'm not saying that'll change the answer, but I would like a clear question.
Maybe Nathan had somebody had mentioned in the chat that you had some white stuff on your mustache, and you could have just had some milk.
The chat also asks if Nathan is a mutant, and technically everyone is a mutant because the average number of mutations a typical human has is in the billions. So
yeah,
yes.
my thumbs go.
But that's by average. Like this. So one somebody somewhere has zero mutations.
Statistically,
what does that person look like?
Statistically, the odds of that ever happening is virtually zero.
Yeah. But virtually zero. That's in fact, it must happen eventually once there are infinite people.
Once there are infinite people, but they're not going to be infinite people.
It could be. Eventually.
No.
Sure.
That's not how it works.
It's not tight.
I've had a lot of Diet 7-Up and pizza, and that's seemingly noise-making.
So, you saw Solo.
I did. Okay. Yeah, all right. The name thing's still dumb. All the dumb stuff I said was dumb was still dumb, but the movie was okay.
And you're still upset that there wasn't any actual robot sex, and it only implied robot sex.
There wasn't even implied robot sex, because she specifically says there was zero robot sex. She even says that she thinks that Lando, actually, they call him Lando, which annoys me because I always, you know, it's pronounced Lando and Han, not Lando and Han, but whatever. But she even says that she thinks Lando wants in on her circuit boards, but that ain't happening because she doesn't feel the same way back.
I interpreted that as false modesty.
It's pronounced Lando and Han.
It's Lando and Han. Han Solo, not Han Solo. No,
but that's
Han.
That's how Lando calls him, though.
Yeah.
Lando calls him Han.
In fact, yeah. And then he corrects him to Han. But Lando. Lando Calrissian.
No, he's called Lando.
Yeah.
That's how... I mean, it might be the proper pronunciation, but the characters always seem to pronounce it that other way in the films.
Ham, sad blowjob. This wee wee poo poo head guy in chat's interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they
somebody's 12-year-old got a hold of the chat.
I'm not sure if they're actually fans of the Crypto System or saw they went live. That's fine. It's all good.
Welcome. Weird person.
Yep.
Also, wee wee poo poo head.
Correct.
See, because Brian is also in chat, so he's the weird person. Was the joke?
Yeah. I got nothing.
Oh, my eyes hurt so much. It is bright outside.
It's
fucking hot.
Fuck
too.
The sun.
Yeah.
We bought like a bajillion BTU air conditioner. I'm like, I'm just going to spend way too much money right now, put this in the window, and it actually can cool like 2,000 square feet, so it'll actually get most of the first floor of the house.
Sure.
And then we get it home, and I measure it, and it fits the window by half an inch, so it's like, great, I can put that in there. And then I see the plug is one of those stupid... like one of the prongs is sideways, mega plugs.
Yeah.
I mean, the outlets I have by there don't even have a grounding hole. Like, that's how wrong these outlets are.
I got
some electrician work ahead of me.
It's any consolation. I did the exact same thing like 15 years ago in upstate New York.
That
it was really fucking hot. I got the biggest air conditioner I could, got it home, and realized I had no place to plug it in.
Yeah, well, really, it's like, let's get one of these room air conditioners. And it's like... the thing is cool, like 300 square feet. I'm like, do you realize how small 300 square feet is?
You mean one of the room ones that sits inside the room?
Yeah.
Or
no, the ones that sits in the room.
Oh,
and
yeah, the one that stands, it's like those, it's like, yes, and it's like if I'm sitting at my desk and I have it in my lap, I will be sufficiently cool with that. But no, you need an actual wall or window unit.
I've seen a ton of do-it-yourselves. All you need is like a cooler and a fan and some ice, and you're set.
And no, we don't have bamboo sticks.
Brian pointed out the house was built before power existed, and that's not even exaggeration. That house does predate electricity.
Does it really?
Maybe. When was widespread electricity?
Is it way deep?
Turn of the century?
Right. I mean, the house is 1912, so...
Oh, there was electricity.
In Plain, Wisconsin?
It may not... The house may not have been wired when it was built.
Sure. But, like, there was a lab somewhere where Edison was murdering elephants.
He'd been doing that for 20 years at that point.
Yeah.
So it was still news.
Yeah.
I lived in an extremely...
So it was not a
house.
Widespread... There wasn't a grid...
Yeah.
Is the point. There wasn't like a grid that when you build a house, it would have electricity.
Yeah, I think the grid was basically limited to big cities at that time.
I mean, like when I I lived in a super old house for about 20 years ago. The center of the house had a cistern that was built from a steam engine.
Nice.
So it was the actual tank of the steam engine. Like when you walked into the house, you could actually see the outline of it in the center of it.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's how they would get their hot water, is they would boil that up.
Oh, I had to fix a faucet in my basement today. Joys of homeownership.
Yeah.
It was an ordeal and a half.
You should see about central air for that thing. It would cost a pretty penny, but I bet you that house would be able to contain it fairly well.
Yeah. No, that house contains really well, actually.
Yeah.
Like we didn't even have our heat on most of the time during the winter. So that was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, I had a Gwent anecdote to tell. And I'll just tell it, and it'll go away, and anybody listening who cares about Gwent will laugh, and then you guys won't care, and this will take me 30 seconds. So I'm apparently not smart enough to have a deck that has both Dandelion Poet and Toad Prince in it, because I keep accidentally eating the wrong things. There you go.
Okay.
Just wanted to say that happened to me this morning, and I had to forfeit a game I was totally going to win, because I had Toad Prince Frightener, and I needed a Siren, and I activate Toad Prince, I draw the Siren, I'm like, yes, there's the Siren I need, and then I ate her. Instead of eating the Frightener and then playing her as my next card. So, wah, wah. That's not the first time I've done that. I am not smart enough to have both of those cards in my deck.
Is that supposed to make any sense?
It makes sense to anybody who plays Gwent. I wasn't going to belaboriously explain it to you because I figured you wouldn't care, but I can. No. So both of those cards make you draw a card.
Why'd you interact?
Dandelion Poet is draw a card and then play a card. So it's basically just, you know, an extra cycle. So really, he's just like a thinning, and then he's like a 5 strength. So it's just basically draw a random card and give it +5 strength is essentially what he does, and a second body. But Toad Prince is draw a card and then consume a card, basically discard it from your hand and boost Toad Prince by its strength. So you don't necessarily do the one you drew. So Frightener is a 13 value, so I played Toad Prince. I draw a Siren, which is great because I needed it for my next play. And then my brain, instead of going, all right, now eat your Frightener and you have your Siren for next play, went, great. We're currently in Dandelion Poet mode. Pick the card you want to play. And I picked Siren and ate her.
Okay.
Does that make more sense now?
Yeah.
Good. You can see how that was frustrating.
So this was this really ultimately a Nathan problem or a Nathan interacting with bad user interface?
No, the interface is fine. Unless the only thing I would need is just giant flashing lights reminding me constantly which of the two cards I played. Like, it literally just play a card and do what it says, and I was just too dumb to remember which of the two cards I had played for 4 seconds. It's just draw a card, click a card, and in that 4 seconds, I'm like, dap, dap, Dandelion Poet, and then no, it was Toad Prince.
Okay, that worked.
Yeah, it was pure stupidity. So dumb.
That happens.
Yeah.
So do you have any plans other than running the WITC? We touched on it about it a little bit.
Yes, no. And how everybody should come to the WITC, especially everybody in chat right now. Yeah. You should come hang out with us at the WITC.
Wee Wee Poo Poo Head said he wanted to be your third, Andy. Yeah. So they can join in.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
If they know what game it is and where it's going to be at.
I don't know. They can't possibly be less competitive than you are.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what David was saying about you.
Yeah.
Your team is dismissible.
Correct.
Garbage players with no skill or, yeah.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, July 28th. Come on.
Wow, your microphone is like pushing through your pop screen. Good Lord, man. There you go.
Yeah,
it's like the hands coming out of the screen in Poltergeist. Mine was kind of doing the same thing.
That movie was good.
Poltergeist?
The original.
Yeah, not the remake. No, that is not a remake that was necessary.
Our remakes... We were kind of talking about this about songs, though, too. Is our remakes necessary?
You have to change it enough to justify yourself, just like with songs, right? If the first one, there's two possibilities. Either the first one was a misstep and you're trying to do a better version. Like, and it isn't a good movie, but it's still a decent example of this, there was a shitty sci-fi movie called Parts, the Clonus Horror. And it's bad enough that it was on an episode of MST3K. It's just a goofy, disposable sci-fi movie, but it had a decent concept to it, which was clones being raised to be organ transplants and stuff for rich people. And so that idea was interesting enough that Michael Bay remade it as The Island.
Yep.
Right? And so fine, right? You take a movie that failed that has an interesting premise and you try to make it. Or option two is you take a really good movie like The Magnificent Seven. No, I'm sorry, excuse me, like Seven Samurai and go, okay, there's a cool samurai movie, but people like Westerns. Let's see what it looks like as a Western, and you make The Magnificent Seven. You don't just do The Seven Samurai again.
With Chris Pratt, right?
So there you go. So you have Seven Samurai remade as Magnificent Seven, a justified remake, and then you remake Magnificent Seven with Magnificent Seven. That is a very unjustified remake. So you can see both versions right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the same thing with songs, which is how you get things like With a Little Help from My Friends.
Sure, yeah. Or any Bob Dylan song remade by anyone who isn't Bob Dylan. Not just the obvious Hendrix ones, but Mighty Quinn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't do fucking shot for shot Psycho. Really? Really, Gus Van Sant?
That was shot for shot?
Yeah, the Psycho remake with what's his face? And, you know, that Vince one chick, Vaughn. Vince Vaughn, was shot for shot. What's the point?
I'm surprised that popped in my head cleanly.
Yeah.
Usually I'm just sitting there going, that guy was in Swingers.
Yeah, I had such high hopes for Vince Vaughn with Swingers, and then he just kept being Vince Vaughn, and I got tired of it. It's kind of like I was okay with Ben Stiller until he was always Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't need any more Ben Stiller.
Something About Mary is entertaining. Yeah. You know, but yeah.
I saw that movie, I'm like, this guy's funny. I look forward to this guy's career. I was wrong.
Nathan's favorite movie with him is Meet the Parents.
I thought the first one was good.
You're wrong.
I didn't mind Meet the Parents that much, but yeah, it's definitely is not that great.
Clay Pigeons was a decent Vince Vaughn movie.
I don't even know it.
Nah, neither do I. it's a thing. It's because it's not just, you know, a Vince Vaughn movie. It's just like when you have a Ben Stiller. It's like a fucking Punch Drunk Love as far as Adam Sandler movies, right? It's one of his best because it isn't yet another Adam Sandler movie. It's a movie that happens to have Adam Sandler in it.
Correct.
Clay Pigeons doesn't feel like a Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah, but I mean, part of the thing with Punch Drunk Love is that he was just an actor in the movie, and every other movie he's in, he has some sort of creative control on it.
Yeah.
And Punch Drunk Love, they just said, oh, he's an actor, and turns out he can do that well. It's just that he doesn't do that anywhere else.
Well, because all of the films he has creative control over are just tax schemes and embezzlement.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically almost the same thing as Uwe Boll. I mean, that's pretty much Adam Sandler in a nutshell now. He just makes schlock. It's, and people who seem to have loved him before, they try to go back to try to rekindle that nostalgia of like
good with Uwe Boll?
No, I'm talking about Adam Sandler.
Oh, okay.
There's no nostalgia over Uwe Boll films.
Was there an Adam Sandler written movie that was good?
Yeah.
I don't mind like Happy Gilmore, like the very first couple ones.
Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, some of his earlier stuff. I mean, it was more so just kind of adorable comedies.
Yeah.
Where he wasn't just doing a voice to do a voice.
And it wasn't just him getting eight of his best friends to go on vacation to Aruba and filming it and pretending it's a movie and releasing it upon the unsuspecting public.
Yeah.
He's got 24 writing credits. I'm going to look at him here.
Jack and Jill is probably one of those. And then
Billy Madison and a Happy Gilmore and Waterboy. I don't mind Waterboy. See, that was still in that late 90s where we hadn't caught on to the fact that Big Daddy's really where I started to hate him.
Little
Nicky, Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Mr. Deeds. Deeds is probably
speaking of remakes that weren't necessary.
Oh, I didn't know that it was a remake.
Yeah, of like a harmless 1950s like Cary Grant movie.
Oh, sure.
Grown Ups. Bucky Larson. I forgot that existed. Jack and Jill. Fuck Hotel Transylvania.
Ah, those aren't too bad.
Yeah.
Those actually are. I mean, they're.
I mean, I guess they're. I mean, they're just bad kids movies, so they're harmless, right? Because they're just bad kids movies.
Yeah, it was kind of watchable. I remember watching the first Hotel Transylvania.
His daughter's like disturbingly hot. Is that weird?
Right, Adam Sandler's daughter
in Hotel Transylvania.
Oh,
Dracula's daughter. Is it okay that she's kind of weirdly hot?
Sure.
Okay. Speaking of which, I think Elastigirl's butt was bigger in this movie than the first one, but maybe that's just me.
Okay.
So he didn't actually write the Ridiculous Six then?
He did. I wasn't going to bother with that. I was looking for where we gave up on him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would say that would be about.
What do you mean she's not? Chad's a liar. She's not 9 years old. She's got a fucking kid. She's married and has a kid in the Hotel Transylvania movies.
Apparently the third one came out.
No, I think it comes out like in a couple weeks or something. I've seen trailers for it. I don't think it's out yet.
I mean, this is my interaction with children's movies is often that I'm pouring cereal for my kids and it's like, huh, there's a movie coming out on the back of the box.
Sure.
So Chat did mention something about board games, though, and we haven't actually talked about board games in a while. So I heard that you guys played some Cthulhu yesterday. Cthulhu Wars.
Cthulhu Wars.
Yeah. And I watched Jason play the terrible faction and make the absolute worst move on turn one, and then I drew the terrible faction randomly the next turn and made the exact same terrible first move, and then 5 seconds later realized, and it's like, I am fucked for the entire game because that I did that.
That was literally the identical move. Yeah. Like, not even the same tactic, but the exact zones. Yeah, that was a terrible, terrible idea.
David's learning from example.
Yeah. Yeah.
I learned it by watching you.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I had good times with Cthulhu Wars. I heard that things did not go exactly well.
It depends on who for.
Yeah, Brian texted me after the first game and told me that if I won again, he would bury me in the middle of the woods with his copy of Cthulhu Wars, so I'm in
trouble.
It'd
be an expensive grave. It'd be at least a good scavenger hunt to try to find it.
Yeah, I told him, you know, awesome. Win-win. I get a free copy of Cthulhu Wars and the sweet release of death.
And a whole room full of grave robbers set up for it. It would make a nice story. I mean, shit, that's a Wes Anderson movie right there.
Right? It's like A Simple Plan, but with Cthulhu Wars.
No, actually, it was my fault that he won the second game because I actively screwed up. What was his name? Tim. From winning. I actively went down. It's like, no, I'm going to stop this and stopping Tim winning let Nathan win, and I got nothing out of it either way. So yes, it was my fault.
This should probably mention to people in the audience or people that are listening to the podcast. They probably don't know what Cthulhu Wars is. It is a large based game that's kind of similar to Chaos in the Old World, where you have
it is very similar, or Blood Rage. They have the same action point mechanic, yeah.
Where they have a lot of large models, a lot of very beautifully detailed sculpted models for just about every single one of the old gods. I think all the old gods, I think they pretty much filled up the
whole most thing. Of the great old ones,
from what's his name.
H.P. Lovecraft.
H.P. Lovecraft, yeah.
Yeah, yes. The last couple of sessions of that have been frustrating for Brian and for me, but So, like, I don't know why in that game people don't attack me and then I just win. And they should be attacking me. And Brian's like, please attack Nathan. And I'm like, you guys should probably be attacking me. And then nobody attacks me. And then I win. Yeah. And that's infuriating for Brian. And then it makes me feel really bad because I want to keep playing the game. Yeah, and so the first game, just nobody attacked me. So I won by a billion points. Because I looked like on the victory point chart, I was in last. But I had a stack of hidden victory point chits like 7 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And Brian and I kept mentioning that meant I was probably winning, but people kept attacking other people instead, and then I won. And then the second game was comedic, with air quotes around comedic, because I was doing pretty well, and I was going to get, like, second place, which I was okay with. Like, Brian and I were pretty neck and neck for second and third, and Tim was going to win. And then Tim went for the win, and
I screwed him out of it.
He bungled it enough that I had a shot at stopping him, and I made my 50-50 shot at stopping him and barely failed to stop him. And then David is like, well, actually, sure, we stop him. So then Tim couldn't win.
Okay.
And then Tim's like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to end the game anyway. Now that I can't win, I'll make sure as few people can win as possible. So he ends it when the only people who legally could win are Brian and I. And at that exact moment, I was like 2 points ahead of Brian. So I won. And Brian just said, we're done. Yeah, it was a shame.
Yeah. But I mean, that's how that game works. I mean, Cthulhu Wars, just like Chaos in the Old World, is one gigantic cock blockathon. That's the point of the game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you just need, and that's the thing is, you need to be aggressive in it because if you're not attacking each other, you're not stopping each other from winning. And if you leave people alone, whoever's got a stronger victory point engine will win. And so you need to make sure you're shutting down that engine.
Yeah, I participated in one of the last ones. I think the one before that one, I got stuck. We were playing on the ice board, I think it was, Nathan.
Yeah, I think
and so. And I was in charge of, or my thing was messing with portals. And if I remember correctly, the portals were freezing over.
Yeah, that was an annoying combo, yeah.
So I was basically utterly useless throughout most of that. I do like the Yellow King, though. I'm happy you won with the Yellow King, though.
Yeah, that was... just marching around, desecrating land. If I get to play it again, I do want to try playing as the Black Goat because it looks interesting and it looks subtle. And I think it plays differently than it looks like it plays. Sure. But I'm not sure the next time I'll get to play it.
Yeah, as in you're probably not being invited over to Brian's again to play.
Brian probably is burning his copy.
Well, you can go probably pick it up at I'm Bored.
Yeah. Well, he's got a good point. It's hard. Like, for new players, they sit down and they look at their faction, and number one, there's only like a 60% chance that they'll understand how their faction plays. Mm-hmm. And number two, even if they do, that takes so much focus to figure out that there's zero chance they're going to figure out how the other five people's factions play. Correct. At the same time. 90% of that game is like, wait, you can do what? Wait, what? And that doesn't work until you've played the game enough that every player at the table knows the special abilities of every faction at the table.
Yeah.
And that requires a group that plays multiple times.
Yeah. 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 I can definitely see that. There's a lot of, and it rewards action. I mean, going and taking out opponents and that's what the game is about. And if you play a lot of, you know, build up games, that's fine, but eventually that game, you stop building and you just have to start attacking.
And I think that happens faster than people think because it's such a big, physically big game that your brain kind of assumes that it's also a long game. Like you think you're playing Twilight Imperium or Dune or something like that, and you're not. Cthulhu Wars is like a 90-minute game. It is fast. It is short. It is not a game where you build up for five turns and then start going out. It's a game where after four turns, somebody has won.
Yeah.
Like you have to be fast. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Fair story. Why don't you just go ahead and block that guy? Like, I don't know why you haven't. Like, he stopped being cute a long time ago. But, yeah. So, I don't know what other board games I've played recently or whatnot. Bought the expansion to Dark Moon. Look forward to never getting to play that. I bought way too much... what's that other Mansions of Madness? I think I talked about that last week, though, where I bought like all of Mansions of Madness.
Well, I've been buying a ton of Shadows of Brimstone as well, so I'm all caught up on Shadows of Brimstone. I'd love to start that up again. Oh, hold on. Go ahead. You guys keep.
We can. There we go. You have admin ability. You can block people. Block. Don't mod. Time out. There you go.
There we go.
There's the ban button.
Bonus.
Ta-da! Woo! That was fun.
Sorry, my screen was exploded too much, so I couldn't actually see him.
Yeah, I don't know who that... Like, I feel like I recognized that name. Like, they were in chat last week, so I think that's, like, actually a person, but...
Quite possibly, but I mean, language on there was...
they were getting weird.
Yeah.
It was just getting weird, and you... you have to wonder about the pathology of somebody that decides to troll us.
That is true.
Yeah. Out of all the things they could be doing on Twitch right now, trolling others.
Yeah. Out of all of the people that matter that they control, they choose us. Yeah.
That's depressing. Like, that's the saddest thing.
I did almost make him a mod, though. So that's,
yeah. Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Oh, well.
So last Thursday, Pegasus has got a really cool thing that's happening now. Every Thursday night, they have a board game day down at the Old Sugar Distillery. So it's a distillery, so you get some nice alcohol and a great environment to play board games. So I went down there last week with the Kofoots, played a bad version of Role Player because I don't remember how to play the game very much. Sure. Very well. So we were able to figure it out and got things rolling for a while. But I had all the cards in there from the expansion.
Sure.
We were just going to play the basic game.
Oh,
so
sure.
So every time we pulled out the marketplace, we would be going to like, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And then we have to toss that card out of the marketplace. Played some Dresden card game, which is a great filler.
It is game. The Dresden card game is solid. I wish it felt more thematic. You know, it's a lot like who's that guy I hate who made literally all the board games ever? You know, he designed like all the board games. Motherfucker, talk about is yourself. Rosenthal?
Richard Garfield.
What?
Richard Garfield?
Richard Garfield didn't make all the board games ever.
What
board,
is it? Vladoff? Is
it Uwe?
Uwe Boll?
No, Uwe Rosenthal?
No. You're not thinking old school enough. Oh. You're not thinking father of the Eurogame genre.
Uwe Boll. The guy that did Catan?
The guy who did fucking everything. He did everything! You're not helping.
No, not helping at all.
You're not helping. You're the worst.
I can't even think of like any kind of board game designers, so that I can plug into this one here. Frank Castle?
No, Reiner Knizia. Fucking Reiner Knizia. Jesus Christ. It's like it's Reiner Knizia. He did everything. Anyway, the point is,
I was going to say, did you suddenly forget what you were talking about?
No.
When you were looking up what?
No. So the thing about with Reiner Knizia games is that all of them are just boring math. Like, every one of his game could just be cards and tiles with numbers on them.
Yeah.
And then he just slaps theme on top, and sometimes he gets away with it, and sometimes you're like, yeah, not this time, Reiner.
So what games has he made?
Oh, for the love... literally all of them. Let me go to the Reiner Knizia Board Game Geek list of games he has made. Modern Art, Medici, Tigris and Euphrates, Through the Desert, Samurai, Ra, Lost Cities, Stevenson's Rocket, The Lord of the Wings Cooperative Game, Battleline, Taj Mahal, Winner's Circle, Amun-Re, Blue Moon, Ingenious, Celtis, Indigo, Kin. He invented Eurogaming.
I kind of view that as Ra and a bunch of games that are just ripoffs of Ra, which it no longer surprises me at all that they're all written by the same guy.
Yeah. Ra is his best game. I hate Reiner because of how ubiquitous he is and how, I feel like Jesse in Breaking Bad with he just can't keep getting away with it. Like, every time a Reiner game comes out and he makes all the money, and I'm like, it's just numbers on tiles. There's no creativity. But Ra's the one where that works for me.
Ra's about the only one I played out of there.
Yeah. But
that I've actually enjoyed.
I've only played a couple of those, but I've read the manuals on several of them, and I was like, huh, this is a cheap ripoff of Ra. This is also a cheap ripoff of Ra. So, yeah, I mean, since it's one dude that likes numbers on tiles, okay, that makes more sense now.
But, yeah, so the Dresden game feels a lot like that to me, where it's numbers on cards, and sure. For some reason, and I mean, that's fine. Like, but most board games, like, there's the theme and there's the mechanics. There's always theme and mechanics. And for some reason, as much as I love Dresden Files, the theme just is so blatantly veneered on top of number cards that it just doesn't work for me. And I know some people love it and they feel the theme and they feel like they're playing as Harry Dresden and whatnot, and I just don't. I feel kind of bad about that because I want to love that game.
I haven't played it enough to really, and I don't know the Dresden universe as well as I should. I know that there's there's an investigator, and he's got a dog, and
there's a talking skull, isn't there?
He's got a T-Rex that he
only briefly once.
Yeah. That's really about the most.
Actually, I almost wore a dress and shirt today, but I wore my hair. I wore it this morning mowing the lawn, so it got dirty. So I changed to my Here Come the Mummies tour shirt. Yeah.
The Risen Files is one of those things that I know about because it's one of the things that my wife occasionally listens to on audiobook while she's knitting.
It's
and that's my primary exposure to it.
It'd be nice to do. I mean, I know that the guys on the Crippled System podcast that enjoy doing the podcast about the Dresden Files. It would be nice for them to come out with another book so you can do another podcast on the Dresden Files. I mean, we're looking at about 2 years, 3 years since we did those.
Yeah, and he used to release one every year.
Yeah. Womp womp.
There was a talking skull. I'm not just hallucinating, am I?
Yes. Okay. I will just say yes. I could more complicatedly explain the fact that technically the skull isn't a talking skull. The skull is just a vessel for a wind spirit and blah, blah, blah. But
sure.
Yes is the short answer.
Sure.
Yeah, but is it a Brian's mentioning that he had a book come out last month. Was it a Dresden Files book?
It was a Dresden Files book. It is a collection of short stories. It isn't a novel, and more importantly, it is not a continuation of the storyline of the series of novels, so I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like the short, they could all be fine stories, but I don't care. I need more of the ongoing story.
Sure.
Three of the stories take place. All right, now I care a little bit more if three of the stories take place after the last book.
Uh-oh. Nathan's being called out.
I don't know. Well, I didn't say I knew anything about it. I said I didn't care. Well, yeah.
I just never read any of the books, so I have no vested interest in it one way or the other.
You should book on tape them while you're painting and playing World of Warcraft.
I could do it on Warcraft, but the other one would mean I'd have to paint.
Fair.
I've actually had some painting done in the past couple of weeks. It's been strange.
I've done a lot of fishing in WoW, so I've been trying to get that achievement for my Underlight Angler, which I got, which is amazing.
I'm more interested in the series of short stories now that I know it has Butters the Knight on his first adventure. Spoiler alert, Butters becomes a knight.
Who is Butters?
Butters is the dweeby mortuary attendant that gets hauled along on his adventures eventually.
Okay. He's basically every time I hear a Butters, I immediately think of South Park.
Then that's South fine. Park that's Butters. About right. It's that except as like a 40-year-old balding man who loves polka. But it's basically if Butters from South Park grew up and was a mortician and then a wizard abducted him to go on an adventure with fighting zombies and then he became a polka-powered Jedi Knight wielding a sword of God.
Sure.
Like you do.
Okay.
As you do.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know.
Because he was introducing the story with the aforementioned T-Rex because there was a book about zombies and they're powered by drums. And so...
like Bernie?
Yeah, sure, like Bernie. I'm going to go with that. Yes. Oh, yes, like Weekend at Bernie. Exactly.
Weekend at Bernie,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so
by music.
Yes, and so drums specifically power the zombies. And so fight fire with fire, Harry decides that he needs his own undead army, but instead of an army, he just goes to the field museum and reanimates the skeleton of Sue, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, to use in the war against the zombies. Sure. And the music he uses is Butter's one-man band polka costume. And
sure.
So he's just accordion and oompa band and cymballing it up, riding on the back of Sue, the T-Rex skeleton, and it's amazing.
Okay.
All right. Well,
and that is the series that, like, five books later, Glenn said that it had jumped the shark because something happened. I'm like, how do you have a series? Like, did you forget what you were reading? Like, once you ride on Sue the T-Rex's reanimated skeleton being powered by a one-man polka band, you can't jump the shark. The sharks have already been exploded in space.
Yeah, I would probably say that, yeah. Then the final game we played on Thursday was we played some Zombies Keep Out, which I got to introduce a bunch of new people to that game.
That's a solid game, even without being a Privateer Press fanboy. That's a solid game.
It's probably their best board game they've put out.
It's not saying a whole lot, unfortunately.
No, it's probably saying a lot. I mean, a lot of their games are, I would say, I mean, I like the folks at Privateer, but I would...
I really like the folks at Privateer. I really like a lot of the stuff they've done with miniature gaming, but every board game from them I've played has just been lackluster.
So...
It's usually a scaled-down version of whatever's popular at the time.
So there's four Bodger's games, right? There's Infernal Contraption.
Five.
There's five now? Infernal Contraption, mm-hmm. Heap, mm-hmm. The shitty wrestling one, Zombies Keep Out.
Yep.
Is there a fifth one?
Scrappers.
Scrappers. Okay, I guess I don't remember Scrappers. Scrappers might be okay.
Scrappers is the very first one. It was, yeah. That one was not very good.
So Infernal Contraption is actually a really good game. I like Infernal Contraption a lot, and I think Zombies Keep Out is actually a really solid game. Heap is garbage. Heap is a fine, fine game. It is a passable, fun little trick-taking game until you find out that the last 5 minutes of the game 100% invalidate the first 45 minutes of the game.
It's an old country for old men, the board game.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's like 75%. Like, I'm building this shit. This is awesome. What?
And all of that, all it does is give you a minor advantage for the one thing that matters at the end.
Yeah,
and
like,
so,
like you could literally just play the. I mean, basically deal cards and then play the final round of the game, and that would be just about the same.
Yeah. It is. So that's four. So two of the five Bodger's games I think are actually worth. Owning just in general. I think Infernal Contraption and Zombies Keep Out are both legitimately interesting games. And all of the level 7 ones are fine.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, all of them came out after the craze of the kind of game they are died down and also aren't quite as good as another game in that same category.
Correct.
Like the third one isn't as good as XCOM, and the second one like isn't as good as like...
Descent.
I mean, they're okay.
One would argue,
but if you had to pick one game from each category that they're in, they just aren't winning that category.
So
one would argue that Invasion is not really the same as XCOM.
No, but yeah,
it's an alien. Touches that same vibe.
It doesn't have the real time aspect of XCOM, but it's a cooperative game where you're defending Earth against alien invaders and whatnot.
Competitive.
So
is Invasion cooperative competitive? I thought just the first one was cooperative competitive.
It's kind of both.
Oh, okay. I mean,
you're trying to stave them off, but then you're still trying to be the number one nation.
Oh, I didn't know it had the competitive aspect as well.
Yeah, so the theme of coming out with games after everybody else does. So what about Riot Quest?
Riot Quest.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Fallout 76.
That's going to be fine, too. Fallout 76 is going to be fine.
Yeah, people totally still care about the survival games. Well, 5 years from now, we'll get Fallout Battle Royale.
Actually, Fallout Battle Royale would be pretty awesome if you're just dropping people in armor from a plane or even from outer space.
Outer space? You're getting greedy now.
Fallout Space would be awesome. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, what if we built a space program? They built a moon colony, and then the bombs hit on Earth.
Oh, sure. So, yeah.
And then the moon colony is just there, and then they return back to Earth after the bombs hit? That would be why the fuck is that not a game?
There is a
fuck.
Cheesy, because it's bad, but enjoyably bad, 80s film. I think it's either late 80s or very, very early 90s. Like, it's right around the turn of the decade, movie called DEFCON 1 that has a similar premise to that, mm-hmm. where it's, like, people on the International Space Station, like, you got, like, a dozen or so astronauts,
sure.
Nuclear Armageddon happens, and they're like, that's not good. And then they come back to Earth.
Well, that happened on Last Man on Earth as well.
That show still exists?
No.
Okay, good.
It stopped, but the one of the characters, the main character's brother, was up in the space station as the Earth consumed itself with whatever plague it was that was in that show.
It's 1985, and it's called DEFCON 4. That's right, because the people who made the movie didn't understand which direction the DEFCON system went, and so they named it the second highest one because they're like, it's almost all the way up to 5.
Yeah,
do your research when you name your movie guy. Yeah,
when DEFCON 5 is normal and
DEFCON. Yeah, yeah. Jesus, Reiner, you made so many games.
But man, that would actually be a really good game. I should send that idea to Bethesda so they can build that
in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years. Have a vault that's on the moon. That's That would be really cool, though. Yeah. No, yeah, Battle Royale. It'll be fun.
Nah, I'm good.
I think the survival thing will be just fine. The way it seems like it doesn't seem like it's going to be full-on PvP. It sounds like the map is going to be incredibly larger. Mm. Doesn't sound like you're going to be really sharing with many people in that regards. You know,
we will see. I have heard enough Peter Molyneux press conferences that I do not believe what designers tell me about their games. Hello Games existed. I do not believe what press releases tell me about people's games.
Elder Scrolls Battle Royale, Fallout Gwent. No, so what we really need to do is make, because we've been talking about doing a Metroidvania style game. We need to make a Metroidvania Battle Royale.
You could definitely do that. Yeah, you would just have to have a massive, massive area with power-ups, and then as you got more and more power-ups, it would almost just be like Fortnite or whatever, but instead of just finding guns, you would find double jump and shit like that.
I think you could just probably take Metroid Prime and make that into a full-on PvP game.
Yeah. You need to, like, the whole map, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, like, start people in random spots, randomize where the power-ups are.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I'm like, oh, shit, she's got the ice beam. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Metroid Prime or even just Super Metroid. It doesn't have to be 3D. Fuck it. Yeah. I would play versus Super Metroid.
No, I'm saying specifically 2D.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I played Awesome Knots with a friend for a while. Side-scrolling MOBAs are interesting. But yeah, I mean now I want to go home and start riding a Metroidvania Battle Royale.
Yeah. The only thing would be making sure that you can't get stuck somewhere, you know, like the powers would need to be advantages, but not required travel things to get from one zone to another. Yeah. Otherwise,
well, I figure you would randomly generate the stages, but I mean, go through with pathing to make sure that you don't.
Exactly.
Have... Speaking of randomly generated stages, did you see what's coming to the Switch soon?
What?
20XX.
Oh, is it? Cool. Yep. I'll get it.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll get 20XX for the Switch. That sounds all right. It's Mega Man. Mega Man's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Although Mega Man 11 is also coming to the Switch. So
that's true, too.
I'll get them both. There's enough room in my heart for both of those games.
Thank God.
Is Mega Man
Capcom
11 going to be modern or retro?
It is not going to be 8-bit. It's going to be. It's still going to be side-scrolling and whatever, but it's going to have more modern art.
Okay. It's going to look like more so like Mega Man X in that regard. From what it sounded like.
Or more. I mean, more like Mega Man 8. Because it's still going to be the Mega Man art style, but not the X art style, but not the 1 through 6 where it was the 8-bit style, but 7 and 8 where they started having to be a little more like cell shaded or not cell shaded, but you know,
more
realistic
so
and whatnot, animated. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, so many new games coming out. I'm excited.
If only we were independently wealthy and all we had to do was sit at home and play video games constantly. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Sadness.
Yeah, because if you're independently wealthy and you can do nothing but play games all the time, then you can do that on Twitch or YouTube and support yourself that way. So it's a nice way to support yourself if you're already independently wealthy.
That's true.
It's amazing how that works out.
Or if you are hot.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Like, I would just whore myself out on Twitch. Yeah, I would just play video games with my boobs hanging out if people were into it.
But you can always, I mean, if you're independently wealthy, then you can get yourself those programs that will actually take your movements and your mannerisms and convert that into, like, some kind of hot anime chick.
I mean,
hot anime dude.
I mean, boobs are purchasable these days.
That's true.
So you can do that.
But I'm not hot in general.
Well, you'll be hot now because if you're playing at home in your house,
I would be physically
air conditioning,
true.
Then you'd just be hot.
Yes. Yeah, or be lucky like Markiplier.
Who are these people?
Markiplier is it is possible to be a successful male Twitch streamer if you just get lucky. Like, they're not any better than anyone else. I mean, they're fine. I mean, they're passably fine. They're the Big Bang Theory of Twitch. Like, okay, it's just, that's a thing, and for some reason, everybody likes it.
They're charismatic in some way or another that draws a crowd to them.
But luck's there, because there's 100 million people trying to be Twitch streamers, and it's not like Markiplier is in any way, shape, or form, noticeably better than half of them.
Sure, but... I mean, I would say that they're a step above, much steps above
a lot of them.
Big Bang Theory.
Okay, sure. Big Bang Theory would have been dismissive. But the point, it's like any show business thing, right? Like, Robert, well, whatever. I'll stick with him as an example. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is successful. Mm-hmm. I guarantee there are a thousand failed actors who are just as good at acting and just as good looking as him that are waiting tables because they just never got a break.
No.
Right? Yeah. And that same thing on Twitch, right? Like, Markiplier, fine. He's fine. I'm not saying that he's not entertaining. I've watched him and he did some Hot Pepper Gamings. He's all right. But, Yeah, my
father
got lucky.
My father likes to talk about how music is that way because he was a professional guitarist for several years and said, that he knew a lot of
any show business.
Yeah, he knew a lot of professional guitarists people have heard of, and he said the guys playing the clubs that you've never heard of are better.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
They just didn't get lucky.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not comparing to PewDiePie. Like, let's not. PewDiePie is the Big Bang Theory of Twitch and YouTube and whatnot.
He's
worse.
You know, he was doing okay until racist rants and anti-Semitism.
He started out as Big Bang Theory and then actually became a terrible person. Even at the beginning, he was inexcusably just bad.
The thing I don't understand about PewDiePie is that I had heard all of this about the racist rants. I was like, okay, what did he say? And so I followed a link and was going to one of his videos where he said racist stuff, and I never got to the racist stuff because I was like, oh my god, this is unlistenably bad.
He actually at the beginning was even worse. Like, he used to just shriek, like literally just shriek like a raccoon in a trap, just shrieking in pain and just yell rape. And that's not an exaggeration. There's just clips of him just going, rape, because he just thinks saying the word rape was funny because 12-year-old boys were watching and they thought saying the word rape was funny. And it's just intolerable.
Listener is mentioned on the chat, though, is basically he hosted a lot of Five Nights at Freddy's, and that's a reaction game.
Sure.
And so people like watching other people get scared.
Yeah.
And he reacts crazily to those
he
type
screams
of games.
So that if you're wearing headphones, your ears gush blood like geysers sideways out of your head.
Do you watch iZombie?
Yeah.
I have videos to show you later on of Raul. The mortician, I think, the mortician on the show. But he works with Funhouse a lot. And there's a couple videos of him doing a horror themed on there. And it's really good.
The main character from iZombie is a pet in Diablo 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, she is. And something I didn't notice, there's a subtle things in movies thread that I frequent on a forum, and it bleeds not just movies, and they were talking about television, and there's a lot of subtle little jokes in iZombie that I hadn't noticed. Like, I noticed stuff like having the evil people's name be Fillmore Graves, you know?
Sure.
Right? But, like, the district attorney, his name is Baracus. So it's D.A. Baracus?
Sure. Wow.
Like, that's amazing.
It's a show that I really enjoyed. I honestly only watched the first season. It's something that I've always been meaning to just sit down and just start binging. I really enjoyed it. It's an adorable show.
It's like Psych.
It's like Buffy for nowadays.
Sure. Yep. It's one of those just fun, but smart in a relaxed way, like Buffy, like Psych. Because it doesn't have, well, I guess it has some drama, like Buffy style, but not like when it got really drama heavy, like towards the end, but like season two or whatnot. But yeah, iZombie's great. He doesn't like the main character's name in chat.
Well, it is Liv Moore, I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what she does. It's a great name. She's going to live more.
Do we have any Zappity? Oh, somebody actually had a Zappity Grumble at the very beginning.
What was our favorite terrible movie?
Oh, it wasn't the guy saying I looked like a sausage with tits?
that was not. No, I'm going to go all Alex Trebek here, and that was not phrased in the form of a Zappity.
That was not. That is true.
That was not phrased in the form of a Zappity, so it was not accepted.
All right. We're looking for the Zappity Grumbles. That's a lot of message deleted. That's my house being old.
No, the chat doesn't actually go back that far. What
was our favorite terrible movie?
Our favorite terrible movie?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I'll buy time.
Sure.
While you all think. But speaking of terrible movies, it is about time.
Under Siege, Dark Territory.
That we saw a movie about Bumblebee, the Volkswagen Beetle, Transformer.
Fucking finally. The trailer looks fucking awesome.
And Michael Bay has nothing to do with it.
It looks... It,
hands off.
It looks like the...
They're making a Bumblebee movie.
And Michael Bay isn't touching it?
It is Bumblebee, the yellow Volkswagen Beetle Transformer, and his adventures on Earth. Yes.
He's a Beetle.
Live
action or...
Yeah, it looks exactly like the Transformers movies. Like, his face looks like the Bumblebee. It's obviously a spinoff. This is a prequel to those with just Bumblebee, and he's a Beetle. Okay. Because this movie apparently doesn't have to abide by the fucking General Motors contract. Maybe that expired, or maybe... I don't know. But it's a prequel to that. It's just him. At least in the trailers, it's just him. It doesn't show Optimus or any of that. It does show some Decepticon, because there is a fighter jet transforming. So
it's Starscream.
I'm assuming it's Starscream.
Well, a gray, red, and blue jet.
I'm assuming it's Starscream.
It looks just like him. That's, oh my God. That movie touches me in the childhood. Just the trailer itself, I get emotional just watching it. It's just, it feels like the Iron Giant. It feels like, you know...
Well, these movies are built on nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
And you don't give us the correct thing. That's frustrating. Like, I wanted Bumblebee, and Bumblebee is a Volkswagen Beetle. And that's not a nitpick, goddammit.
No, it's not. I mean, I don't think he stays a Volkswagen Beetle throughout that film, though, but...
Maybe at the end he'll get like super wrecked and damaged in the dramatic final thing, and he'll have to save himself by turning into a Camaro. Like, okay, fine, or whatever he is. Is it a Camaro that he is?
It's a Camaro.
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe that'll happen, right?
This is the first time I've been hyped about a Transformers film since Transformers. I mean, I got really hyped when
I was hopeful
about the Bay one. Michael Bay wasn't really at that point of like. I'm just producing schlock for schlock.
Right.
He was an action director. Yeah. And
you got The Rock.
I love The Island. I love The Rock. Armageddon was entertaining for what it was.
He hadn't gone full stupid. He hadn't cranked his Michael Bay meter to 11 yet.
Correct. Correct.
This was before nobody could stop him anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
It's similar to like a lot of people who have their own oeuvre when you have stuff like David Lynch, same thing, right? Like early David Lynch, he had a style and the style was surreal and the style was whatever. And now he's just a parody of himself because he feels the need to out-weird himself. Michael Bay had a style. And as stupid as his thing is, he was good at what he did and there was actual merit in it. And it was interesting to see people trying to be like Michael Bay and doing it poorly so you could see, oh, there's actually skill in what Michael Bay does.
Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2.
Sure.
Two other good Michael Bay
films. Like, I saw a great example of Lindsay Ellis, who you might remember. She used to do things as the nostalgia chick on the channel Awesome Thing, and now she does her own thing on YouTube. But she was talking about Michael Bay's style and how you actually need to stop and think about him as a filmmaker, not as a joke. And she compared a shot from Battleship to... It obviously is trying to be Michael Bay. And you can tell because what it is the characters are, like, standing up... into frame while the camera like spins around them, and that's in every Bay movie ever, except behind them is just like a blue sky, and they're like without reference points behind them. When you look like the Bay ones, there's always like things happening, there's tall buildings, there's motion, so that you get this actual feel of the spin. And with this, it's just like, I guess the camera went in a circle. So like it's interesting to actually give him his credit, but that was prior to Transformers 17, Bumblebee shits on a guy. Like,
I don't think so. I think Battleship was...
Battleship's fine. I'm not bad with the Battleship, but that specific shot was obviously trying to be a specific... They saw it work in Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
Battleship is trying to be a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah,
it is. It's blatantly flat. It's written
for him to direct.
That shot fails to recreate a shot that Michael Bay is famous for. The rest of the movie's fine.
Yeah, but I mean that's an interesting point because I mean this is in a lot of cases the skill in making schlock is often really understated because none of us could go out and make a Michael Bay movie. Maybe we could write one, but we couldn't. I mean, none of us have the skills.
I hope
necessary.
I could not write a Michael Bay movie. I really hope that nothing I write would turn out like a Michael Bay movie.
Well, I mean, don't sell yourself short because we've got a lot of liquor downstairs.
You would just have to write "no homo" constantly on a piece of paper.
But yeah, I mean, there's a substantial amount of skill in that. I mean, I've talked to people before. That's like talking about Budweiser because we're here in Wisconsin, and I'm going to talk shit about Budweiser, but. Budweiser is terrible beer. It's not terrible beer because the people making Budweiser are bad at making beer. Because they know exactly what they want to make, and they are fucking scientists at making Budweiser. But it's schlock, and it takes some skill to make that level of perfection of schlock.
Well, like it comes up every time we talk about the Fantastic Four movies. Roger Corman is incredibly talented at making a Roger Corman film. Like no one on the planet could do what that man does with $7 and a ticket for a 6-inch sub at Subway. Like he will make you a passable feature film for that. Yeah. It's a gift.
Yeah. Still the best Doom in all of the Fantastic Four films. Even more so than sci-fi tragic Doom from that one movie.
And it's because there's an earnest artistic vision there, right?
And love.
Yeah.
I think he loves everything he does. I don't think he... Yeah, he's... I love Roger Corman.
Corman is definitely not... jaded and cynical and trying to churn out profitable blockbusters. Corman is loving what he's making with every penny he can scrounge up to make it and stretching the fuck out of that budget.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a wasted cent on a Roger Corman movie.
Those PS1 graphics are so great. Well, we're talking about, which brought up this whole conversation, is our favorite bad movie.
Terrible movie was specifically.
Terrible movie. It was brought up in the conversation, but Battleship is a pretty fucking awesome bad film. Just all out. Like, the fact that all the aliens are using pegs to...
that they actually use the red pegs is brilliant.
The red pegs, you have...
It's brilliant,
you have the
David.
Grid,
You've seen it, haven't you, David?
No, I haven't.
The alien ships literally shoot the red pegs from the game, and they just slam into the boat and sit there for a minute and then explode.
On top of that...
You're making a Battleship movie. You need the red pegs.
Later on, there's grid warfare. Yeah. As they're trying to hit one of the alien ships or something
B7.
Like that.
B7!
Yeah.
Okay.
And... It doesn't make sense, but when they finally bring out the old, it's a spoiler for the show, when they bring out the old ship with all the World War II vets manning like an old school, you know, World War II ship, battleship, when they bring that fucker out of the walking museum, it is, oh my God, fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You have AC/DC playing in the background. Yeah. You got the old guys just fucking loading up shells into the cannons.
Battleship's just dumb, but it knows it's dumb. And like I said, the instant I saw those red pegs slamming into the ships before they blew up, and tell the best red peg story, Andy.
There's a sequence, okay? They fire like three red pegs into one ship, and it explodes, and that ship is splinters.
And it's a big one. It's like a destroyer. It's not like a little cutter. It's a destroyer.
And then the humans decide to fire again at the alien ship, and then they fire like 50 pegs into another ship.
Yeah, like three of them just destroyed a boat, and then later on they just shoot like 50 of them into a boat, and you're like, oh no.
It is a great schlock film. I'm going with Battleship.
Yeah,
and
see,
David,
it's a
your
tough
favorite
question.
Movie is Battleship as well.
It's a tough question because is it a terrible movie? Like, schlock is... Like, I'm trying to think of a movie that is objectively bad, but, like, I still love it. Like the people who enjoy watching The Room, for example.
Sure.
You know? Yep, because if we're talking about schlock, but schlock that's fun, similar to Battleship, goddamn did I love Ninja Assassin. Because there were ninjas, and they assassined the hell out of things.
Yeah.
It was exactly what you get from a Ninja Assassin movie. I love, there's a great shot in it. I laughed so hard in the theater, because fuck yeah, I saw it in the theater, is like the lady's trying to drive away and escape from a bunch of Ninja Assassins, and like they throw like 1,000 shurikens into her car, like in the chase sequence. Like it just, it's covered in shurikens. It looks like the buzzards from Mad Max Fury Road by the end of this chase sequence. And she gets away, and then it fades to black, and then it opens on her car just parked in front of a Motel 6 in broad daylight with 1,000 shurikens just still sticking out of it. It's like, I think that's a little... People will notice your car, lady.
I mean, the Crank movies, sure. I would consider them being...
Crank 2 even crankier.
Crank 2 is being probably like the epitome of my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the final battle, that fist fight in the power station.
The fist fight in the power station is great. Why is there not a Crank 3? I don't understand.
Because sadly, Crank 2, as beautiful as it was not particularly profitable.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
So, favorite terrible movie? I'm going to have to say the Angry Birds movie, because my God, it was terrible, but it understood that it was terrible.
Sure. Well, it's a kid's movie. Like, did it just, like, basically apologize to parents and be like, here's some stuff to keep you entertained.
Yeah,
sorry.
I won't necessarily suggest anybody watch it, but watch the trailer for it, because the trailer has the one actually good scene in it.
Is it the farting scene?
The peeing in the lake scene, which I thought was actually funny, because it was one... They actually did... You could see it was coming a mile away, but they were able to play up that you saw that it was coming.
Sure, and they made that build up part of the joke, as opposed to being like, yeah, I get it. Yeah. Sure.
It's not like going to be when we watch the Muppet Murders, when we watch that movie, movie is called, and we see the
Sunnyville Murders, Sunshineberg,
Happy Time Murders.
Happy Time Murders. Like I think that sounds right. But that sequence that happens in the office with the two puppets and the... ejaculation going on for minutes, I don't think that's going to be entertaining in the film. But if we saw it in the film itself without the trailer, it would probably be funny as hell.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So ejaculation thing, it depends if it's the Peter Griffin hitting his knee or Sideshow Bob stepping on the rake thing, right? Like it's funny and then it's not funny and then it's funny again. And there are three different ranges that a joke like that can fall into. And so in the trailer, it stops in range 2.
It stops in range 2.
So I would need to see if the movie stretches it to range 3.
Yeah. I kind of wish that sequence was not in the Red Band trailer. I don't think it was necessary. It would have been. I think it would have been more entertaining if it was just fully in the film.
Sure.
All right, Nathan, what's your bad favorite movie?
Well, I said Ninja Assassin.
Oh, yeah, you did say Ninja Assassin, sorry. All right. Then we got recommendations. I didn't see any more zappity grumbles at all. I didn't actually make a tweet this week at all either.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. But recommendations, I've been watching, I would say watch AMC television shows. Generally, about 90% of them are really good, either in a drama or a sci-fi thing. There's some low misses on there.
Sure.
Like, I'm in the middle of watching Dietland.
Okay.
It's an interesting show. It's basically about a gal, a heavier set gal, and her trials and tribulations as being a heavy set gal.
Sure.
And dealing with, the society. She works as a ghostwriter for a very popular...
Like with the pendant stare and everything?
Yes. She works as a ghostwriter for a...
Oh, ghostwriter.
Writer, not writer.
That's different.
Writer.
Yeah. I was super excited. But plus-sized female ghostwriter was my new favorite comic book.
But she works as a ghostwriter for a very popular magazine, kind of like a Dear Anne type thing.
Sure.
And at the same time, there's a feminist group that's running around killing bad people for doing bad things. So like Bill Cosby would be on their hit list.
Until this sentence, I thought this was a documentary. I assume this is not a documentary.
It is not a documentary.
Because literally until then, I thought this was a documentary. Sorry.
Nope, but it's really kind of dealing with the main character's issues as being a heavyset gal.
Sure.
And people, how they react around her. And then also these murders that are happening around of basically killing of bad guys.
Sure.
Being chauvinistic and bad. It's so far it's been pretty decent. But I mean, like AMC, I mean, they made The Terror, which is really good. Halt and Catch Fire, which is a great retelling of things that happened from the building of computers from the late 70s until basically about 2000 or so.
There's a combined total of at least 2.5 good seasons of Walking Dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can combine it all. It's in there.
The most recent season of Fear of the Walking Dead is probably the best season that they've ever put out of Fear of the Walking Dead. Yeah. And because it had a crossover with The Walking Dead, brought a good character from over there, and then they just killed off every other character that was on that show. There's only like one person that's remaining from the original show.
All right.
I'll recommend Cthulhu Wars because I hadn't played it until yesterday and really enjoyed it.
Well, all right.
Well, Chad is asking quick, would you stand by Walking Dead at this point in the show?
I would not stand by Walking Dead at any point in the show.
It's annoying when you hear about actors leaving a show because now for the entire next season, we're wondering when Andrew Lincoln is going to die.
Sure.
When his character is going to die.
Sure.
So that's annoying. Supposedly...
And when are they going to kill off the host of Talking Dead?
I don't really want to comment too much about that, but it's, yeah, I'm
yeah
very cautious about that situation because, I mean, he's had a lot of success, and he's had a lot of people back him up too.
Yeah,
for accusations that one girlfriend has laid upon him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So, yeah, I wonder when they're going to kill that show, too.
There is a YouTube channel called First We Feast, and specifically one of their series in it is Hot Ones, where they...
Oh, sure.
And I had just missed it for a while. I'd see it pop up in my YouTube feed, and I would just ignore it because it looked like clickbaity crap. But it's actually... I watched 3 or 4 episodes today, and what it is they have celebrities on there, and they ask them interview questions as they eat increasingly spicy hot wings. And so you get surprisingly, mm-hmm. At first I thought it was just they eat hot wings and haha, look at them sweat. Isn't it funny that Terry Crews is literally hallucinating?
Sure.
But it was actually funny that Terry Crews was literally hallucinating. But the questions asked during were actually really, really interesting interviews. And I like good, interesting celebrity interviews versus the generic plug your movie shit they do like on late night shows, and that's why we liked like Craig Ferguson and stuff like that.
I was just about to say it sounds like a Craig Ferguson episode going wrong.
So you get the Schadenfreude of watching Natalie Portman eat a 2 million Scoville unit hot wing,
sure.
But you also get surprisingly decent interviews. So I would recommend checking out Hot Ones on the YouTubes. They're pretty good.
I just realized I may have spoiled Walking Dead for next season.
Oh, that's fine. But I mean, nobody should be watching Walking Dead. It's garbage.
I watch it.
Yeah, but it's garbage.
If
it was a movie, it would be your answer for what terrible movie do you watch?
I can answer my terrible television show I watch, and that's Z Nation.
Z Nation's better than Walking Dead.
It knows exactly what it is, and yep. It is flavor of the week. Whatever.
Also, the overarching plot of Blue Guy. Jesus, what's the fuck's his character's name?
Murphy.
Murphy. The Murph. Yeah. The overarching plot of that is way more interesting than aimless wandering for 8 seasons, which is what Walking Dead's giving us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, the concept of Murphy, of someone who is naturally immune to the zombie plague and thus is a valuable commodity, is really interesting.
So, Nathan, if you got a package that was sent to you in that, would you be annoyed? I got a miniature sent to you in that.
A miniature was sent in this?
My miniature that I bought from somebody for $15 was sent in that.
In half an envelope.
In half an envelope.
Like duct tape. It's literally half an envelope. It's been cut in half.
Correct. Yeah.
And they taped that half. What?
And he made me pay him $3 for shipping and handling. I mean, I'm lucky that the miniature is small enough that it wasn't damaged in there. Because, I mean, those letters go through rollers.
There's a dollar's worth of stamps on here.
Yeah.
And literally half an envelope. Where's the $3?
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I'm lucky that the miniature is small enough where it did not get damaged.
And flat, yeah. Like if that was, Jesus.
But the card is all bent up.
Yeah.
It's all got dents and bumps in it.
If that was like an eBay thing, I would definitely complain.
Nope, that was me dealing with the marketplace on Messenger, on Facebook Messenger. Yeah, I'm done with that too.
Yeah.
There is an amazing ability that she has. Check out on the back.
If you can dodge a wrench.
Yep.
Yeah. If you can dodge a wrench. Speaking of which, I didn't get angry at Pee Pee Poo Poo Shitty Fart in the chat because he called one of us a pedophile. I got mad because he said Dodgeball was a bad movie. Dodgeball's a great movie.
Yeah.
I just got annoyed with him because he was boring.
That also. Like, if you're going to troll, be at least an entertaining troll.
Yeah, if you're going to come talk shit to us, I mean, it's like, at least make it entertaining.
Correct. We are here to be entertained by you.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, y'all, for watching. We'll catch you next week with episode 243. Try to be here right around the same time.
You want me to be here around the same time I was this time?
No. I mean,
that's what you just said. This card is fucked.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's annoying. Well, it's not too bad because season four of Guild Ball is coming out soon, so I'm not going to have to worry about that card. But it was a gift for a friend, so that's the annoying part about it.
Sure.
So I got it for a friend, and that fucker. I sent him a text too, asking him where the hell it is, because I had to send him like 3 messages to ask him where it was, and he's like, "I'm like, do you have a tracking number for this?" And then he sent me a picture of a tracking number for something that went to North Carolina. I'm like, "I don't live in fucking North Carolina." He's like, "Oh, let me see if I can find that." There's no fucking way he had a tracking number for that.
It's just 2 stamps on half an envelope.
Yep, exactly. So he fucking lied to me.
He didn't even wrap it in like. No, tissue paper.
That's exactly how it came in.
Jesus.
It came in with the protection for it was the card it came with. So
good times.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.